show them. Anytime we lure them, we take a ride along the freeway. Here with them, then the night I'm pretty full of witty. Then the gritty, me have to put them on the books like that. And I want to the whole community in the city. Then I kitty, now I go share with nobody else. Now with them girls, they're nice and pretty, full of witty. Them not witty, man, I gonna put them by me books, yeah, yes. And I wanna the whole committee in the city. Them not kissing, I gonna share with nobody, yes. Stop! You get me picky when you choose them. Who not go, we lose them. When we have...
Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. My name is Ifni, and I'm joined here in the studio with David Ripa, who's manning the board with efficacy as usual. It's a wonderful sunny day. Summer has arrived. Please be aware of the sun. It smells really great out, but although in the studio right now, maybe not so not so fantastic. It's sweaty, fresh smell. You may notice a waft in the air of coconut oil. Sunscreen is advisable. Make sure you guys drink lots of water because it's starting to get really hot. I also wanted to mention, too, there are so many folks on the road right now on their bikes, which is fantastic, but do be aware that some of them are newer cyclists or they're seasonal cyclists, so they may not be so experienced. When you're passing them, it is a good idea to call out. You can say on your left or on your right as you're passing them so that they don't get surprised and fall off. One other thing you can do, too, today is such a crazy, crazy windy day. I was drafting a little bit on the way over here to the studio behind David there. Thank you very much, David. I do appreciate that.
No problem.
Right on. And for those of you who don't know what drafting is or didn't know it had a name, that's when you get up real close to the bicyclist in front of you, and you kind of can decrease the wind resistance. So it's a fantastic way to conserve energy. You can take turns. It's a wonderful way of stretching your granola, yogurt, and fruit reserves. And so, yeah, I highly recommend it. But you do have to get pretty close to do it, so you should make sure to let the person know in front of you that you're doing it. It may be either bad form or hazardous to do it to somebody without them knowing. So the typical way to call that out is to, when you're getting closer to their wheel, you say, "On your wheel," and just make sure that they hear you. So they know you're there. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to mention too is that for those of you who've gotten sunburned recently, myself included, you can do a couple of things to do damage control. I'm not a doctor, here's full disclosure, but some natural remedies you may want to try are things like olive oil. Virgin olive oil is a really good thing to apply, although perhaps not to your face because it is a heavier oil. Or lavender oil is really, really good. You can buy it in a lot of health food stores these days, and it's really great for increasing the circulation to your skin, so it kind of speeds the healing process. And vitamin E too. You can buy those little vitamin E capsules and pierce them and rub them on. My condolences go out to Jack, who got a wonderful kind of polka dot shaped burn on his face. He was wearing a helmet, so it's very cute. But at any rate, please do take care in the sun this year. Congratulations to everyone who survived Bike Month. And by the way, you are listening to 101.9 FM. We're out here at CITR, and this is the Pedal Revolutionary Show. And today, we are going to be talking to some brothers from another mother. We are going to talk to the Bus Riders Union, and that'll be coming up a little bit later in this show. They'll be filling us in on what's been happening with the fare increase and giving us a bit of a bus traffic report card. So that'll be coming up a little bit later. Very exciting. If anyone has any questions or comments, or also if you want to announce any events in our wonderful city or in the nearby environs, including Cascadia, please call the studio at 604-UBC-CITR. And so maybe let's go into a song here. We're going to do a bus themed show today, along with bicycles. So the first song we're going to be listening to is by the good old Violent Femmes, one of my favorites.
We all get mad, we all get late. Looks like somebody forgot about us. Standing on the corner, waiting for a bus. Say, hey, Mr. Driver Man, don't be slow, 'cause I got somewhere I gotta go. Say, hey, Mr. Driver Man, drive that thing fast. My precious time keeps slipping past. Let's call the mayor, let's complain. Looks like the city's done to us again. Tied up in traffic, what do you know? The damn city bus moves so slow. Hey, Mr. Driver now, man, don't be slow, 'cause I got somewhere I gotta go. Say, hey, Mr. Driver man, drive that thing fast. My precious time keeps slipping past.
Young man, your transfer's expired. Would you please pay full fare?
I just got this transfer.
Hey, can you open up the back
either
door?
Either pay your 65 cents or you'll have to leave the bus.
You gotta be kidding me. I just got it.
Will you please open up the back door?
We got the mother and the kids. We got the guy and his date. We all get mad. Driver man, drive that thing fast. My precious time keeps slipping past.
My business. Hello, welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. That was the Violent Femmes with Waiting for the Bus. And today we're talking about the the fare increase that unfortunately TransLink has decided is necessary to do, I want to mention to folks that there's a really fantastic article that just came out on the TIE by one of our fellow cyclists. His name is Dave Olson. And you can view this article. It's called 17 Reasons or More to Stop Charging People to Ride the Bus, the Case for Fare-Free Transit. It's pretty damn exciting. If you want to see that, go to the TIE. So that's THYTYEE.ca. And you'll be able to find it there. It's interesting because it says here that since 2000, TransLink has hiked fares by about 50%, so that's a little bit intense. One of the things as well that that we should talk about today is not only the fare increase, but also the tendency with the city government here to kind of put armed guards on our transit system. And they started it with the SkyTrains, as folks are maybe aware, and they've now got that on city buses. So that's another kind of issue that concerns those of us who are interested in getting people out of their private automobiles and into more sustainable forms of transportation. There are some good news, pieces of good news for people on bicycles, and that in regards to the transit system, and that, of course, is that we can now bring our bicycles onto SkyTrains. That's been a gradual kind of, there's been a gradual opening of that. Now we can actually have more than one bicycle on a SkyTrain at the same time. Just make sure, I believe it's two or three per doorway, so that's another thing that kind of extends people's ability to integrate bicycles into the transport system. Of course, the night bus issue is still outstanding. There are the new city buses that were added to the fleets. Unfortunately, a lot of them still have the new bus racks that cannot accommodate bicycles during dark hours because the bicycle wheels, when put on the racks in the front of buses, block the headlights. So we're still, TransLink has expressed its desire to remedy the situation. Of course, we're still waiting, and I still see buses passing by saying, no buses, no bikes on here at night. So that's too bad, and we're hoping that'll soon be remedied. Anyway. We're going to get the Bus Riders Union here on the line. And before we do that, one more bus song, because there's actually a lot of really, really great ones. So this one is called Ride On, Turn the People On.
My baseman is a ghost, and my ghost is a news carrier. News carrier, back me up, man. I had some pain, I became your satellite. Got to get it all right. Sight. I know a man called Sylvester. He must wear a bulletproof vest, y'all. No kind of way, no kind of way at all. Music lives, children learn. I made the trigger happy, but I wish I had a puppy to show me right from wrong and good from evil. This is the future. Hey, I ain't gonna shoot you. Hey, and if you feel you got to move, I-Man can supply a groove. I-Man can sue for real. Had a daddy, had a papa who ran away from my mother. See, those who have eyes like mine, let them shine. All time, all star. I had some pain, I became your sonic satellite. Got to get it all right, just right. I know a man called Sylvester. You have to wear a bulletproof vest, y'all. No kind of way, no kind of way through the day. Music lives, does he learn? I made it trigger happy, but I wish that I had a puppy to show me right from wrong and good from evil. This is the future, hey, I ain't gonna shoot her. Hey. And if you feel you got to scream, cause you're dealing with the cream, you're not wrong. How did that happen, his papa? You run away from my mother. He inspire and entertain. Then my mother mash up him brain. So, had a daddy, had a papa. He run away from my mother. Yeah. My friend, he's a snapper. But him try dress up snapper. Dapper, snapper, dapper, dapper, snapper. Gunshot at the fella. Shoot out at the fella. Rock it in the stella. Take it in the stella. Shoot out at the fella. Those were hearts at the dumb. And turn the people on.
Never mind Morgan, tea for my mama's tomato, tea for the sweet potato, reap out of the banana, then they make it hyper for us to live together. My generation got to stand up in love. The higher, the more, the stronger, the harder. Do you see? Hey. Those who have eyes like a dawn, ride on and turn the people on.
And you're listening again to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. CITR.ca is where you can find our live stream. Of course, you're probably already listening to that or you're listening to the podcast. That was Ride On and Turn People On. That was Finley Quay. And an organization that's been working really hard to turn people on and keep bus riding accessible to the citizens of Vancouver is called the Bus Riders Union. And if you want to see more information about them, you can head to their website. It's bru.van.bc.ca. Lots of information about them, but I was surprised to learn that they're almost 1,000 in number. And it says here, the Vancouver Bus Riders Union is an anti-racist, anti-sexist public health organization fighting to put the needs of transit-dependent people at the center of public policy. And it's been around since just before the transit strike in 2001, which worked in sustainable transportation's favor in a number of different ways. Got a lot of people really active about bus and transit issues, and it also got a lot of people on their bicycles. So we do share a lot of objectives in common, and I do believe that we have a gentleman named Dave Henry on the line. He's one of the organizers of the BRU. Dave, are you there?
I am.
Super. How you doing today?
Not too bad.
Yeah? Are you depressed? Tell me you're not bummed out.
No, we're not bummed out. We can't be bummed out because we saw that you know, even though TransLink decided to go ahead and attempt to raise the fares, we actually still have about 6 months until they're put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that, that movements to win real concrete gains for people take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're focusing on doing is building our base of members and also building participation in the organization so that we can make a strong stand and try to roll back some of these really regressive policies.
Mm-hmm. And when you say regressive, I mean, really, well, first of all, for folks who maybe don't catch the bus so often, what's the fare at these days and what do they want to raise it to?
Right. Well, right now, for a 1, 2, and 3 zone, for cash fares, if you just walk up onto the bus and you need to pay with cash, it is $2.25, $3.25, and $4.50. And for people that don't know, there's different zones depending on how far you go outside of the city of Vancouver. So if you're going out to Coquitlam or Port Moody or down to the south of Fraser area, it's actually a 3-zone fare.
Mm-hmm.
So with the fare increase, which is supposed to go into effect January 2008, the cash fares are actually supposed to raise 25 cents for one zone, so that's $2.50. And it's supposed to go up 50 cents for both the 2-zone and the 3-zone. So that's up to $3.75 for a 2-zone and $5 for a 3-zone.
And that's one way?
That's one way.
Wow. And, I mean, it doesn't sound like much, you know, 50 cent increase, but that's $10 a day round trip. And for a lot of working people, that must be
that's quite right. The
pummeling.
That's right. And actually, we, you know, one of the ways in which we, we document the impacts that high fares have on people is to do testimonials. So we actually ride on the buses twice a week. We go directly to where people are, And we asked them about their experiences with high fares. A lot of people, particularly because there's a lot of gentrification happening, people are getting pushed out into the peripheries, into the suburbs, because of high housing costs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in addition, they have to pay extra to be able to come into work if they work in the downtown area or wherever. So, you know, we see that $10 a day for transit is, you know, at least an hour of someone's work. And mm-hmm. it's a big chunk out of people's household budget.
And so then if they've got kids going to school and things like that, then it just continues.
Exactly. We've talked to many families who have, you know, two adults and three kids, and they have to all buy bus passes. So you're talking, you know, you're talking in hundreds of dollars every month.
Wow. It's funny that it's sustainable transportation, but maybe it's moving in directions that make it a harder choice for families. Sure. And you mentioned that you actually go out into some of these communities and talk to people. How does that actually work? How do you you take the bus out to an area and then you kind of... Because I know the way that the Bus Riders Union organizes is one of the things that struck me first about you guys, that you're really hands-on and very involved. You're not a kind of arms-length kind of organization.
No, we're not an advocacy group. We organize people. We organize people into a democratic organization that can fight for the needs of our members. Yeah, to answer your question in terms of how we organize, we do what we call direct contact organizing. So, you know, we don't sit around in a room and wait for people to come to us. We actually go to the places where people who are most affected by right-wing policies are. And so for us, that means getting on the buses. So we actually get on the buses. We have on-the-bus crews. So these are groups of organizers that actually go onto the buses. We hand out leaflets and materials. We actually do a speech at the front of the bus to get everybody's attention. We usually hand out some information. And then we talk to people, and we ask them about their experiences, either with high fares or with a lot of people are talking about overcrowding, long waits, poor service. So we get a lot of these experiences, and we base a lot of our campaigns on the experiences of bus riders. So we don't just come up with them out of thin air. They're actually based on the real needs.
Mm-hmm. And I've also noticed, too, that your materials I've seen a lot of your posters around, and everything is multilingual. There's Chinese characters, and it's in Spanish. And I know that you guys... I mean, it must be really interesting as an organization to have people coming from a lot of different backgrounds and getting together and working in their own interests. And maybe for some people, it's kind of an introduction into community activism. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's very fair to say. You know, I think that was one of the real strategic points behind the creation of the Bus Riders Union, was that you know, as an organization, we try to organize people who are unorganized. So, you know, in Vancouver, what can happen a lot, you know, if you go to different, you know, forums or activities or stuff, is you tend to see a lot of the same people, which, you know, people are very committed, and it's good to see people committed. But, you know, we're not going to win real gains here in this province. If it's the same old faces, we need to bring new people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not as challenging as it seems. It's a lot of hard work, but it's not that challenging. What we really try to focus on is trying to bring people in based on their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of talking about really, you know, high-level TransLink stuff and lots of numbers and stuff, like we do that kind of work. But we start with people's experiences. So high fares, overcrowding, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to your family?
Mm.
Why, you know, basically, why do you need to get involved?
Mm-hmm. And one of the phrases that I like that you guys use is riding with dignity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? And what that means, what the conception of that is with the BRU.
Right. Well, it was one of our lines that came out of a campaign planning meeting that we had. I think it was around the beginning of 2006. And we had just started to really focus on the conditions on the bus. So as a bit of a backgrounder, TransLink right now is actually about 500 buses behind where they are supposed to be.
Supposed to be according to who?
According to their own statistics and their own plans. So there's in 2000, they said that by 2005, they were supposed to have 1,600 buses on the road. And we know right now in 2007, if we're talking about conventional buses, which are the 40-foot buses, there's only about 1,000 at any one time, or at peak time. So we know that they're very far behind in buying buses. And what that manifests into chronic overcrowding on a lot of routes, pass-ups, where full buses go directly past a bus stop with a huge line of people.
Because they're already full.
That's right.
Wow.
And what actually the bus drivers union, CAW Local 111, they actually documented that there was over 19,000 pass-ups last year.
Wow.
And that's only the supervisors actually asked them to not call them in because they were too frequent. So 19,000 is actually a low estimate.
19,000?
Yeah.
How many people, I don't know if you have this, but how many people use transit on an average day, do we know, or in an average month, or do we have any figures on how many people catch the buses in Vancouver?
The number that I know, and it might be a little bit old, but I think it's somewhere around 400,000.
Is that per?
Per day, I think.
Okay.
I might be wrong on that, but
It sounds reasonable to me, Dave. and I wanted to ask you too, if we can. I wanted to ask you why TransLink is behind with these with the purchase of new buses.
Well, the way that we see it is that basically, around the same time as the bus strike, there was a real problem in terms of funding, and so the government was supposed to give TransLink a vehicle levy, and they based a lot of their plans and their spending on that. And then the NDP government actually fell through, and it didn't go through. But also, so there was a lack of money, and they actually did service cuts on top of a fare hike and the 4 months bus strike. So it was a triple blow for a lot of people in that time. But we also see that they're behind because instead of really prioritizing the bus system, which about 80% of transit users use exclusively, they don't even go on the SkyTrain. Instead of actually prioritizing that system, what we see is that the big mega projects that are being pushed forward in the agenda by the province is actually taking up more and more of the budget. So the good example is the Canada Line, which is a $2 billion public-private partnership. It's the largest PPP in Canadian history. And TransLink itself is actually funneling huge amounts of money into both the capital costs of the line and the cars, but also they're going to be funneling a lot of money into the operating costs as well. So, and this is actually the way that it works is that the multinational corporation who's going to be building it and operating it is SNC-Lavalin out of Montreal, I believe. And they will actually be running it for a 30-year contract, and they have a guaranteed ridership of 100,000 people per day. So they get profit even if there isn't if the ridership doesn't materialize. So they have a guaranteed profit for 30 years, and if the ridership isn't there, then it comes out of our pocket.
Right.
so we see that public-private partnerships like this is a real push towards privatization of the public transit system,
mm-hmm.
because it draws a lot of the money out of the rest of the bus system as well.
Mm-hmm. Something to maybe make you smile. I saw a photo in, I believe it was the, it might have been the Courier, and it was just in the inside cover, and it had a big photograph of the Rav Line chasm, and the caption underneath said something to the effect of, it's the Rav Line or the grave for Kevin Falcon's political aspirations.
I think I saw that too. Yeah,
yeah, that cheered me up a little bit. one thing I it's funny too because I lived in Tokyo for a few years, and the train system there is pretty much their transit system. They do have a few buses, but largely, you know, you're no more than a good 10-minute walk from a train station in any neighborhood. And it's really funny how things reorient themselves. All of the main shopping areas and restaurant areas are all focused around major train stations.
Yeah.
And the biggest train station in Tokyo takes in about 2 million people a day. I was a cyclist in that city, but at the same time, it was such a wonderful thing that, you know, there's no real incentive to drive a car because it's extremely expensive to do.
Mm-hmm.
There. They force everyone to actually take driving school, which is kind of a nice thing for cyclists, too. Unfortunately, they didn't have it integrated with bicycles, but at the same time, it made it so simple for people to use for, you know, a daily life thing. Everybody
right.
rode the trains, so right. I really wish that that we could reprioritize or realign some of our drives as a city and how we want our city to look.
I think if I'm right, I think that the Tokyo system is more of a private system, and then it was actually paid for by a lot of the people that own the development
mm-hmm.
around those areas.
Yeah, most of the subways, well, actually, yeah. all of the subways are privately run,
right.
And then the exception is the trains. There's a kind of a train that goes. It's part of the network in Tokyo, but it also, if you're taking a public transportation out of the city, it's also run by the government.
Right.
So it's a kind of, they do both, actually. It's interesting. And there's no cost difference in between them.
Okay.
And actually, the ones that are private tend to have more malls attached to like super crazy mall, you know.
Well, it actually brings up a good point, is that, who benefits in this context from building these large mega projects, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is some advantage to having, you know, a rapid line that gets you there in time. But, in terms of the Canada Line, we see that one arm of the Canada Line is going directly to the airport. And it's mostly for the Olympics, mostly kind of like a prestige project. And we see that is, you know, largely for the tourism industry and for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But also we see that, I read a newspaper article a couple months ago saying that the property prices around the Canby-Broadway area have, like, tripled since the announcement of the mm-hmm. RAV line. So we see that, big developers, people who own that land are actually reaping a lot of benefit in the private sector out of money from the public sector.
Mm-hmm. That's
money that could be put towards, in a really spread out context like Vancouver. It's actually buses that serve the majority of the routes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe we should say the people who are not benefiting in the private sector are all those small businesses up and down Canby who are taking just a pummeling because no one can access them properly.
Yeah, that's true.
What should we talk about as well? I want to ask you a little bit more about the BRU and who are your members typically? I know there's probably no typical, but.
Well, we collect our members from the bus.
Uh-huh.
So from the on-the-bus organizing, we get people's contact information and they agree with our basis of unity. And we try to keep people as engaged as possible. So we actually now have about 1,100 members.
Wow.
And 95% of those people are people that we got off the bus.
Huh. And can you talk about the basis of unity? what that means?
Right. Well, the basis of unity, it basically talks a little bit about our it's basically a political statement which we use to kind of unify people. So it's a basis upon which we can work together.
Right. And some of the principles in it are?
Well, right off the bat, we talk about anti-racism and anti-sexism.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talk about that we believe poor people and transit-dependent people should be at the forefront of transit policy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important when, you know, when we have members and we're doing work, we need to start with a basis that...
like common ground kind of thing.
That's right. Mm. So when we have people coming into our meetings, we, you know, if somebody says something really racist or really sexist, or we can challenge them on that and we can try to move them and explain why, but we can also say, you know, this is something you agreed to. If you're not going to agree with that, then...
And of course, too, if we're looking at translink policies, I mean, there's things that are outright racist, not in their policies, but you can say that there are things that are outright racist in the world, and then there are things that kind of affect people of certain groups
exactly.
Because they're more vulnerable. And so, in a sense, there is a discriminatory aspect to them.
Exactly.
Is that kind of what you're driving on? Okay.
Actually, it's an aspect that, you know, not a lot of people are really familiar with in this context.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is that, you know, if you go on the buses, and you can look at the stats as well, the bus riders are majority women.
Mm-hmm.
And disproportionately people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a recent study done by Steps Canada saying that immigrants are about twice as likely to ride the bus than Canadian-born.
Huh. And, of course, in a lot of cases, they're maybe more reticent to speak out against policies when they're new residents as well.
Well, there's often that kind of, you know, fear of speaking out because, you know, people are in really precarious situations often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do believe that that the people that are affected the most by these policies are the people that need to be at the forefront,
yeah.
Because that's when we see that real systemic change can kind of happen. Yeah.
And you guys have something called the Women in Transit Project.
Yeah, the Women in Transit Project was a participatory action research project, and we created a document. I obviously wasn't part of it, but
but you knew about it.
I could talk about it. We created first. We did a number of workshops around Vancouver
mm-hmm.
With women, and talked a lot about what are the particular needs and the particular issues that women have within the transit system, and. We did that because we do know that the majority of bus riders are actually women.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we documented all of that. We took hundreds of testimonials in that process, and we came out the other end with a document kind of talking about the context, talking about patriarchy in general
mm-hmm.
in this context. And also talked about how we see that that attacks on public transit are actually attacks on women as well.
Hmm. And I know that you have something called the School for Grassroots Organizing, which sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is an amazing project, actually. And I've been involved as a student, I guess, over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually came in as a participant in one of the schools.
Cool.
About 3 years ago.
Cool. I also want to ask you about what you think about the idea of free fares, no fares.
Right.
And also maybe we can talk about nuts and bolts of how a bus system would be funded, or, you know, if we're going to add new buses, where that money should come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the vision of free fares is an important vision to see and to look at. And I think that, you know, we can envision those kinds of public services, whether it's public transit or whether it's you know, healthcare or education or all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And what that would look like, of course, is a fully funded public system that actually works for people's real needs.
Mm-hmm.
So people get kind of, you know, confused. They're like, well, you know, you can't have free transit because, you know, where's the money going to come from? And we often say, well, you know, you have somewhat free health care right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, you know, that through progressive taxation, we can actually provide a lot of those services, those public services that people really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do that same kind of system in the public transit system.
And the sad thing is that as fares are increasing, less people can afford to ride the bus, meaning that fares have to increase. It's just, it seems like such a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it is really devastating. We in the TransLink meeting, we had about 2 hours of delegations.
Because you guys go religiously, right? You guys,
yeah,
go to all these meetings and,
yeah,
tell them what's what.
We do. We tell them what's what. We confront them. We take our testimonials that we get off the bus. We share people's real stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we also you know, do our research and try to find out exactly what they're doing so that we know how to respond and,
mm-hmm,
and try to mount an attack back against them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were saying you went and told them something the other day.
Yeah, we had about 40 bus riders union members there, and about 28 people spoke. With a lot of them being testimonials, you know, like very personal stories about how the high fares are impacting their lives. Also about service, and it's quite amazing to go through 2 hours of testimonials and then have the TransLink directors almost unanimously vote to raise the fares.
Wow. And it was quite a scene, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we, you know, we basically, actually, what happened was they decided to go in camera, which means to go into a private meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at a point where, you know, a lot of people challenged what they were saying, because what they were saying wasn't true, and they didn't like that. They thought we were being disruptive, so they went into a closed meeting.
Hmm.
And that's we got up and protested against their taking it into a closed meeting and being undemocratic.
Well, you know that in camera is actually a Latin for chicken shit.
For chicken?
Chicken shit.
Oh.
That's what my dictionary says. And I know, and what were kind of the things that they were saying that you guys said weren't true?
Well, for one thing, they said that, and it shows the lack of knowledge that a lot of the TransLink directors and even the TransLink staff had. They said that, oh, you know, well, there is a path for people on welfare, so I don't understand what the barrier is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not true. There isn't a path for people on welfare. There's an annual pass for low-income seniors and for low-income people with disabilities.
Hmm.
But there's no path.
So these were actual TransLink employees saying something that...
Yeah, is untrue.
Huh.
And then when we actually challenge them and say, you know, that's not true, then they try to shut us down and say, you know, you've had your delegation time, mm-hmm, your 5 minutes, and now it's our time.
Hmm. And I guess one thing that people may not know, too, is how much we already all pay to subsidize car drivers. I think that's something that maybe a lot of people don't really know. in the fabulous article on the TIE, it says here, Todd Littman of the Victoria Transport Policy Institute has estimated that in 2000, the government subsidy to each private vehicle owner was about $5,378 Canadian. And it says, in that year, the average cost of providing each trip taken by transit in Vancouver was approximately $5. The equivalent subsidy for transit users would have been 1,075 free trips.
Right.
Of course, most of us don't even need that many. So it says here that, in fact, if the subsidy given private car owners were simply handed over to each car-free transit user, bus drivers would make money for taking transit.
Right, yeah.
It's funny.
It's not surprising, given how strong the automobile lobbying industry is and has been, you know, over the last 50 years or more.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you taking so much time with us today, Dave. And I just want to remind people of how to find you guys. You can go to the Bus Riders Union website. That's bru.van.bc.ca. You guys also have a bricks and mortar building there at 672 East Broadway.
That's right.
And you can be reached by phone at 604-215-2775. Also, I should mention, too, that if folks have other questions for Dave or anybody at the BRU, you can email them to busridersunion@gmail.com. Dave,
yep.
What do we need most in Vancouver as far as transit goes right now? What are the three main things?
More buses.
Mm-hmm.
We need lower fares.
Mm-hmm.
And third thing... I don't know. I think that we need to get rid of the SkyTrain police as well.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Before I let you go, I want to ask you guys, too, because I know that there's going to be transit police now on the bus routes.
Yeah, well, TransLink extended their fare paid zone that they have on the SkyTrain to all of the buses. It was actually 2 days before the fare increase. So we know from being on the buses all the time that there's actually thousands of people that can't afford the bus, are in such poverty that they can't even afford to get on the bus. But bus drivers let them on. Now those same people will be subject to a $173 fine, to possible arrest, and also... We've heard of many instances where people have been assaulted by the SkyTrain police or the GBTA police, and I think it's a really
assaulted in what way?
Like
they've been pulled off the buses, or
yeah, we've heard of people being handcuffed to fences. There was an incident in the press a while back where a woman was hit. Was tackled and hit in the face with a flashlight. There's actually a lot of instances.
Because what's the training for these guys and women?
Right.
These people.
Well, they are police officers. So the GBTA police, as far as I understand, they go through the same training process as regular police. But you know, the RCMP has a long history of brutalizing people as well. So I think whether you have the training or not, there's still a long history of police officers assaulting people and harassing and intimidating people as well, especially poor people, especially people in the downtown east side as well.
In my understanding, a lot of folks are. I mean, are they actual Vancouver police forces, or they're? I believe they're kind of security guard esque, or they're separate transit police, or some of them are ex police officers, right?
Well, it's a little bit confusing, but the GVTA police, most of them, as I understand it, are ex police officers,
mm-hmm.
But they've been kind of given a second career,
okay,
as GBTA police, but
and they are carrying weapons.
They are carrying firearms. Yeah, so they are already on the SkyTrains and now they're on the buses as well.
And what I mean, has there been any reasoning for why we need armed officers on the buses? I mean, I understand that the reason given for having them on SkyTrain was threats of terrorism, especially as we approach the dreaded Olympics, but.
Right. Well, a lot of the arguments, they don't really make sense, but they're repeated enough. So that they have a logic of their own sometimes.
I mean, because funnily enough, we don't even actually arm our border guards.
Right. Well, the reason that was in all the newspapers is that, well, they're police. They're the same as any other police. They should have handguns. But they don't stop to question or think about the implications of having handguns on public transportation and the possible risks that that could have.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, if there's no other, if transit wasn't majority poor people and working class people on the buses, if it was all rich people, there's no way that there would be, that they would allow having armed policemen going through and checking their fares and intimidating them and harassing them.
Or like stopping drivers to check their...
Exactly.
Just arbitrarily kind of during rush hour.
Or being at the hospital and checking to see whether you've paid your MSP premiums, you know?
Right, right. Interesting. Because it is a utility ultimately. Huh. Well, listen, this has been a really interesting conversation, Dave, and thank you so much. And we all wish you the best of luck with there. And I don't know if you heard before you came on, but I introduced you guys as the brothers from another mothers and the sisters from other misters, so...
thank you very much, Ifni. It's been great talking to you today.
Okay, you take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.
Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of a song. I should also again mention, if anybody has any announcements, you better get them in quick. Phone 604-UBCCITR, and we will pass you through to the board. Again, this is the Pedal Revolutionary Show, and if you have any feedback or if you want to tell us some ideas for upcoming shows or just what you had for dinner yesterday, you can send that to pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. And we're going to go to a song called Riding the Bus. Welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. I just want to make a public service announcement. And by the way, let me just say to everybody, what a wonderful critical mass ride we had in June. I haven't heard any official figures, so I can't give you any of those. But I do want to say that I had a nice time. The weather held for us. We estimate it was about the same as last year. And the numbers for last year range between 1,800 and, as a very conservative estimate, to a count of 2,050, which was scientifically done, and 20 dogs. So congratulations to everybody who came out on that, and thank you to the drivers of Vancouver for being so wonderfully patient. There are lots of things happening, actually, but I'm just only going to mention a couple of them. This coming weekend, there's a Global Habitat Festival happening in Robson Square, and that is just across the street from the Vancouver Art Gallery, where Critical Mass meets the last Friday of the month. And so if you go down the stairs there, you'll see there's going to be the Suzuki Foundation is going to be there, and a bunch of people are going to be there talking about how we can make a global habitat together. That space is the sometimes secret dancing location of a group that will remain unnamed, but they have something to do with bicycles. And We're going to be talking to one of them in a couple minutes about an event coming up for them. I also want to mention that in Bellingham, there is the Cascadia Crown is happening this weekend, also on Saturday. And so good luck to everybody. And the Worms are hosting that event, so there'll be some bike sports and things like that. It's close enough to ride in a day and maybe a half, but you may be tempted to stay overnight. So if you want more information about either of these things, you can email us at pedalrevolutionary at gmail.com. And anyway, I do want to say, again, thank you to the Bus Riders Union. Very exciting. And Melissa, if you're out there listening to us, give us a call back. Otherwise, I do know that there is a fantastic cabaret happening, and it's coming up. It's going to be the wonderful, fabulous, and talented Bicycle Dance Troupe. That's T-R-O-O-P, called the BC Klutz. And that's going to be, I believe, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So if you want more information about that, you should, again, email me at pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. And I should also mention that was... The last song that we listened to is by a guy named Keiichi Suzuki, a Japanese name, of course, and a song called Riding the Bus. Oh, okay. Hello, Melissa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? I'm wearing long pants and a long shirt that are really grubby.
Right on.
Yeah.
Any tatters of red and black attached to you today?
Yes, actually.
You can say yes because it's radio. Nobody will know.
Yeah. Totally. I'm fully clad, sequins and all.
Are you out in the forest?
No, I'm at my office now.
Oh, okay. And you have an announcement for us today.
Yes.
What's going on? Give us the skinny.
Give you the skate. Well, I guess I am going to say our promo, which is absolutely fabulous.
Ooh.
So imagine a dark, hidden back room glowing with the light of candles, filled with beautiful people talking philosophy and flirting shamelessly.
Ooh.
Imagine a show that combines comedy, song, dance, poetry, theater, sexy ladies, and handsome gentlemen. Imagine hundreds of bikes parked outside. That's right. The BC Klutz present an elaborate cabaret to meet your posh appetites. Rouge et Noir, a bicycle cabaret. And it's a fundraiser for our August 2007 West Coast tour, bringing Vancouver's bike love all the way to LA and back.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's great. How can people get tickets?
Tickets can be purchased at Spartacus, which is at Hastings and Canby, or our community bikes, which is on Main Street at 17th Avenue, or the People's Co-op, which is Commercial Drive between Charles and Kitchener.
You should give us some tickets, too. We'll sell them at Free Geek.
Yes,
and
that would be.
And that's 1170 Second.
Okay, yeah.
Right on.
We'll
Listen,
get on
thanks,
that.
Melissa. I got to kick you off the air because we got to get out of here. We're going
right.
to actually, do you want to help us? We're going to say goodbye to affordable transit fares with a little song.
Okay.
But it's not going to last because I know that the Bus Riders Union is going to kick the tar out of TransLink to get them back.
Nice.
So you want to say goodbye with me?
Yes.
Goodbye.
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 There's a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too. And up in the nursery an absurd little bird is popping out to say cuckoo.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Regretfully they tell us, but firmly they compel us to say goodnight.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
fun.
While
fun
cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises, its favorite mantle still remains
fun. Fun
devours all it touches, its voracious appetite rarely fulfilled. Yet
fun
doesn't only destroy, it creates and molds as well. Let's examine closely then this dangerously evil creation, this new breed. But a word of caution, handle it with care and don't drop your guard. This rapacious new breed prowls both alone and in packs, operating at any level, any time, anywhere, and with anybody. Who are they?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You'll hear them boast about a light they say that shines so clear. So raise your glass, we'll drink a toast to the little man who sells you thrills along the pier. He'll take you up, he'll bring you down, he'll plant your feet back firmly on the ground. He flies so high, he swoops so low, he knows exactly which way he's gonna go.